You're listening to the Journey Church Podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now we trust that you're blessed by the following presentation.
It is so weird standing up here. I'm used to sitting on my couch at home watching you guys from the live version and stuff, and it's a lot different from this angle, and so I was much more relaxed at home. But anyway, I'm so glad to be here, so blessed. We could turn me down a little bit because I'm probably going to get loud, and I just feel like I feel a lot more mature in that microphone than I am, and so I've been pre-warned that you guys are more humorous than the second crowd, right? So I hope so. Otherwise, this sermon is going to be really long and painful for some of you. And some of you, it's going to be long and painful anyway. I'm really glad to be here. I will tell you, I haven't preached in a year and a half, so I have 68 slides this morning for you. They think I'm joking, but the thing is that I'm going to go through them really fast. I'm just letting you know. Pastor Jake was amazing because I gave them to him, and he said, "No, really, what's your sermon?" I'm like, "If you would just put that together, 5 minutes per slide is about how much I'm preaching." And so, we're not laughing now, are we? Yeah. He said, "Get them out by softball." That was my guideline, so I can do that. I'm excited. When I was at TLC, I got to work at the movie theater, so the fact that they were having the movie theme, oh, we don't have that up anywhere. Okay, the fact that we have the movie theme going on, I couldn't wait because I was wanting to do movies and stuff, but I wanted to have the right movie. I said, you know, I want to have one that's going to best represent me. So I asked for my wife, because anybody that's a smart husband, you ask your wife for direction. Amen? If you didn't say amen there, you're not a smart husband. I'm just saying. I want to help you out here. So I asked my wife to help me out. She couldn't be here. She did want to be. She told me to tell everybody she's sorry she couldn't make it. Thursday, she had a dentist appointment before we flew up here. And she had a crown, and the dentist said, "This doesn't look very good." So he messed with it. And for the next 3 days, she's been in excruciating pain. And so be praying for her, please do. And honey, I love you. I hope you're watching at home, and wake up. So the thing is I asked her to help me. I said, "Could you show up maybe some movies that would help, you know?" But now this is what I thought she'd come up with in thinking of me, what best represents me. And so we'll get to the first slide. You know, of course, this is what any husband, right? She didn't actually go that direction. She went this way, actually. Not really sure what that meant. This is my world. This is the truth, folks. All right, so I thought, well, I'll go to my kids, because I know my kids, they got their dad's back, right? So I thought at least my kids would come up with this kind of stuff, right? Come on, dads, you know what I'm talking about, right? And then they went this route. Needless to say, I think I'm on my own here. So what I did is I wanted to come up with a perfect movie, and I was going through this process, and it was a long process because there were so many movies to choose from. So if you don't mind, for the next few minutes, I'm going to take you through the whole process. We good with that? Amen. So we'll start with this one. Now, this is absolutely nothing I'm going to preach about. But I wanted to make sure the ladies were on board with me. And I wanted to remind you, this might be a good time to get the notebook out, so if you want to take notes or something, God could speak to you. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to pray about that, because I want God to speak to me. It's awkward, because in the middle of my sermons, a lot of times God will speak to me, and I'll have to stop and kind of pray through while I'm preaching at the same time. And it's awkward to say, "Lord, help them, help me more." But the thing is, God, is that's what we want to have happen today. Amen? Amen. Father God, we come to you because it's all about you. Lord, we can't do anything without you having complete control. So, Lord, I pray that you would anoint my mouth today, Lord. Lord, to be honest with you, we don't need to hear from Drew Massey. We need to hear from you. So, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to receive your word in whatever format, in whatever fashion. Let us just be open to say, "Lord, here we are. Speak to us, I pray, in your name." And everyone said? Amen. Amen. So here we go. Give you a background. I used to be a pastor here in Wentzville, but now basically I am in Florida. Okay, and if we can go ahead and put up the other thing over here, I don't know, I'm trying to multitask and stuff. Okay, I wanted to put the warning there. I have not seen half these movies. I don't want anybody to sit there and go, "Oh my gosh, he doesn't even know what he put up there." I don't. I really don't. It's just the titles, okay? I'm that shallow. Okay? So I'm in Florida now, and for those of you who don't know, I also work at Southwest Airlines. Okay, and so that's it. That's all there is to know about me. If you don't know me, then now you do. And so we're caught up. Okay? I will tell you one thing about my life that has been an eye-opener. I've been in ministry for most of my life. I was a youth pastor for 26 years because I refused to grow up. And then they kept saying, you need to be a pastor. You need to be a pastor. And then I was a pastor, and they said, no, maybe not. But when I went into Southwest Airlines, all of a sudden I found out that people at work don't praise God all the time. Matter of fact, when they talk about God, the way they're using his name is not very encouraging at all. And it's hard to have a daily prayer life when you're working all the time and you're running around and stuff. And so God got my attention a couple of months ago with kidney stones. Yes, thank you. I feel your pain. They said it's like childbirth. So for all mothers out there, I'm sorry. If I would have had those before my wife had kids, we would not have kids today. I love you, but I'm just saying I would not have put my wife through that. So two emergency room visits, three surgeries later, all of a sudden I felt like I should give up some things in my life. I gave up soda, I tried to lose weight, and I'm riding my bike every day, which is why my prayer life has actively come back into existence. For many reasons. One reason is because when you get as old as I do and you go out on a bike for a long period of time, you look at your watch to see what your heart rate is, and you want to make sure it didn't flatline on you and not tell you. But I've been praying, and I've been seeking God, and I'm really excited and stuff. And so these are some of the things that God showed me as ideas to speak about. And I said, well, I'd like to do this one, The Incredibles, because I'm like, it's relevant. The movie's out here, and every time I talk to Pastor Jesse, this is the word he has to describe you guys. And I'm just telling you, it makes me so sick to hear how amazing y'all are. I'm like, really? I mean, come on. Some of them went to my church. They weren't that great. No, I'm kidding. They were amazing. I'm kidding. They were all amazing. And Phil came too. But the thing was, is that I love to hear the passion he has. I'm not used to a stage, so I could face plant at any time. We're going to call it the move of the Spirit and just come to the altars and pray. Amen? But when he was talking about you and he has such excitement and stuff, I'm like, that's the way it should be, folks. It should be to where there's a relationship between a pastor and a congregation to where you actually like each other. You're actually excited about each other. And folks, I'm going to tell you a secret. Your pastoral staff is pretty incredible as well. And I mean, you need to get to know them. They're amazing. Pastor Danny, Pastor Jake, Pastor Jesse, I've seen none other like them. And I'm going to put in a plug because some of the folks that I am so proud of are familiar faces. And I'm not going to call them all out. Some of you I will. But a lot of them, I just want to say I'm proud of you. Because when I'm sitting on the couch at home and I see your face and I see you walking through the crowd, or if I see you jump up, Angie, and run to the bathroom, it's just so nice to see that you guys are here. And then when I hear what you guys are doing, folks, y'all are incredible. So you need to give yourselves a hand for just being obedient servants of God, because you're here. It's a summer. It's a beautiful day outside. And you just found out you're having a guest speaker. In that 2 minutes time, any one of you could have bolted and you stayed. You're incredible in my book. Amen? Amen. That's not what I'm preaching about. This is just the introduction, folks. How good is that, right? Or how about when pastor calls on you, you know, and says, would you close in prayer? Maybe this is you. You know, maybe that's the look you get. I thought, man, I could preach on that a while, but I don't want to call anybody out. Because I'm not that kind of guy. Right, Phil? And I heard today's softball Sunday, right? So we're going to have some softballers out there. Two of you. That's good. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. We might get to play after all, Pastor Jesse. I'm just saying. We thought we'd be on the bench, but no, we're in the game. I got the left side. You got the right side. All right. So then I thought, well, maybe I could talk about our old church league softball league we were in, because that's pretty much what it was like. You sit there going, wow, this is the Christian League. Wow, that's... And I thought, no, I don't want to offend anybody. So I thought, maybe I could put in a plug for Brittany. Brittany does an amazing job on the praise and worship team. Y'all are amazing. I just want to say how awesome you are. So if I could be their voice at all, maybe this is what they would want me to say. Oh, wait, back up. Hold on. See, I told him I was going to give him the signal. If I use this as my pointer finger and that was a signal, is to sing. But you know what? I found out I don't have to tell you guys to do it, because when it comes to worship, y'all know what to do. You just jump in. So we skipped right over that. But then, of course, y'all saw the hint. This is the one that I said, well, for Pastor Jesse's sake, I could do the next one, you know, because who doesn't like a guest speaker to come talk about giving? Amen? Amen? Everybody's back there going, oh, dear Lord, is this where he's going to stop? No, because actually, I've already heard a sermon on the blessed life, and you know what? I could do no justice to try to cap what all he's talked about. And I know that you guys are already giving, right? Amen? You guys are already giving. Amen? Where's Pastor Danny up? Get him back up here. Let's try this again. Amen. So then I thought, okay, what's the next one? What can we go to here? We're not going to talk about this. Maybe I could talk about the people who show up on, you know, Easter service and Christmas. Probably wouldn't help. They're not here anyway. So I guess we'll move on. I'm sorry. That was harsh. I was afraid offending people, but then again, in y'all's announcement, y'all said you're going to start plugging kids in the face with dodgeball, so I think I'm okay. I think I'm all right. I'm just saying. I'm not as nervous anymore. Then I thought, you know what? I could be plugging the pastor's podcast. I don't know why he wants me to refer him to as the king, but I could do that. It's awkward when we have to call him that in public, but, you know, whatever. Then I had some other slides. I'm not really sure what I had these for. This one here, Pastor Jake and Pastor Danny said they could use volunteers in youth ministry at any time if you guys would like to help out. But don't worry, if you try and it doesn't work out, I'm sure they'd go ahead and let you out at any time. I'm sure they would, right? That wasn't even supposed to be the slide there, I don't think, but anyway. So then I thought, okay, well, let's get serious here, okay? You know, maybe we should deal with the real issue. And you know what the biggest issue we have in our life? Us. Amen. So maybe I could talk about our egos or our pride, right? Because I bet this probably represents a lot of us. We just get so caught up on us, and maybe we should get over ourselves. But I thought, you know what? I'd like to come back and speak again sometime. Maybe we shouldn't hit this one on the first level. Amen? Even though there is scripture that does say, and I'm sorry to bring up scripture, but I figured we'd go to it eventually. The Bible does say that he must become greater, I must become what?
Less.
I must become what?
Less.
Which is a scriptural say, get over yourself. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. You want to have a great life, start thinking of others above yourself. Or the scripture also says in the next verse, he says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in all things, consider others as more important than yourself. I mean, we should take the very nature of Christ. Christ, who was a pretty big deal, came to be nothing. Amen? He came to be nothing. He became a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance of man. He humbled himself, even being obedient to death. And not just any death, but death on a cross. I don't know about you, but I think that would preach. But I'll let that slide today. I want to talk about Journey Church. I want to talk about what I think about when I think about Journey. This is what I think about right here. If I could have found a picture with your pastor in that outfit, and don't tell me there's not one out there. I know there is. Maybe not that much hair, but there's a picture out there. Just, I don't know about you, but what I loved about Journey Church, even before I moved to Florida, is the excitement that your pastor has about service coming up. You understand? Because I sit there going, oh, I want to go there this Sunday. And they'd be like, yeah, but you got to preach at our church today. I'm like, no, that looks amazing. I know what I got. It's not that big a deal, but he's got some stuff. Amen? It's something about, I'm going to tell you, folks, you're going to get out of church what you put into it. If you come up here going, oh, my gosh, the sermon's going to be just atrocious and stuff like that, guess what? No matter how amazing it is for everybody else, for you, it's probably going to be atrocious. For some of you, you're going to get caught up in the fact that I preached for an hour and a half today. The rest of you won't mind, but some of you. I love watching the people squirm. He's joking, right? Now, you notice when I'm doing that, everybody that used to be at TLC is going, I'm not saying nothing. I'm just going to, don't look at me right now. You might not like the answer. Wow, we're already there. Okay, all right. I want us to be excited. I want us to be as excited as Pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. Last night, I was excited. I was up late at night thinking, I can't wait to get here. I was excited at 4 o'clock this morning, ready to get here. Folks, when's the last time you've been that excited about church? Because that's what it should be like, amen? It should be to where you just can't contain it. And as the next one has, you just have those happy feet. If you've seen that movie, it's kind of cute about the penguin that can't contain it and he just has to dance all over the place. That's what people should see when they see you being all jittery. What's going on? Church is tomorrow. I just can't wait. Church is tomorrow. You understand? And I don't care if your name's not Gilmore, folks. Be happy. Because some of the saddest people I ever see in my life are in church. I'll let that sink in some. And folks, I used to work at a funeral home. Don't we have something to be happy about? Don't we have something to rejoice about? Folks, we need to let other people see that big secret we have. The Bible says this, Psalms 118, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will and be glad in it." Amen? And be what in it? Be happy. At work, be happy. There should be something, everybody at work should say, there's something about you that's different. Yes, there is. Amen? Because folks out there, and with all the media and stuff like that, it's a sad world. But we have reasons to rejoice. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll move on. Okay, I keep going. I got lots where that came from. Don't worry. Here we go. So then I thought this one would be handy. Why? Because you have two buses ready to go. Who's ready to drive them? Amen? I saw two hands, Pastor. I hope you're recording this. Y'all ready for a bus ministry to bring people in here? Okay, maybe not. Okay. Are you ready to go pick up some white woman somewhere who wants to go somewhere? Then, yeah, bring her to church. And she didn't have to even be white. She didn't have to be a woman. Folks, there's people that need to come to church. People who want to come to church. You understand? All they need is a ride. Find that out. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Folks, make your feet look better than they already do. Take the gospel to them. Say, I don't know what to say. Say, get in the car. I'm going to bring you to the gospel. Amen? I know, I'm just trying to be funny, but every once in a while there's something that makes sense. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Lord help us. Amen. We'll move to the next slide. Once they come to church, do this. Meet them. I love your two-minute interval, especially when I'm guest speaking, because I had to go to the restroom one more time, but that's beside the point. I'm not going to say that out loud. I love the fact that you have 2 minutes, and they don't tell you what to do. They just say, hey, folks, 2 minutes before, we're getting ready for service, and then people just run around and shake hands. That's the way it should be. You should meet and greet them. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Nothing makes you feel more excited about being a visitor than greeting one another. In Orlando, and most of the time, if I'm going off on churches, it's in Florida, because here in Missouri, y'all know how to do it. Amen? I am in Missouri, right? Okay. Because in Florida, I would usually wear something like this to the church that we went to. We went to 5 different churches that we went to, and I would wear this. Do you know why I wear this besides the fact that I love the Cardinals? It gives them something to talk about. I would even wear this. Why? Because they say, hey, Drew. Yes. Oh, my gosh. You know me? And I'd carry on the conversations. Out of the 5 churches, you know how many people came up and asked me about the Cardinals? How many people asked me about who you are? We even had churches where our kids, we'd try to stand them up, and the youth pastors didn't even come and talk to them. I want to go back there next week. Folks, for some times, when those people come to the door, that might be the only time you have that chance to make the impression. Meet them. Can I go a step further with that? Greet them. I'll go a step further. Hang out with them. They may look weird up front, but have you looked in the mirror lately? I mean, you look amazing. I'm sorry, Pastor. That's what I wanted to tell you, because he has that sign. Sometimes you may be a little bit to catch as well. But folks, when you get past that surface, you're going to find out there's some genuine people that would love to be accepted. Amen? I probably even have a scripture to go with it about meeting and greeting people. Greet all God's people. I'm sorry, which ones?
All.
Wow, that sounds pretty inclusive. Amen? Even if they wear a Cubs jersey in here, meet them. Greet them. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm sorry, maybe I should read that scripture again. Greet all God's people. We'll work on the loving them later. Amen? If a cubby comes in here, he needs Jesus. But anyway, the thing is, all right, I'm glad I got the crowd back. Whew. I was afraid to take a drink. Everybody take off. There's another scripture. It's pretty cool. By this, everyone will know that you're a disciple, that you what? You know, the biggest way that people can tell that you love God is that you love other people. Man, it should be to where if somebody comes in here, they can't leave without feeling like the whole group just is so glad they came. It's the whole group's just like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. And they walk out and said, how was church? I don't know, but I felt amazing. I felt like I was finally in a place where people wanted me there. Amen? Man, if you'll look in Acts, you'll find out that the apostles, when they had the new believers, it said they gathered together for the preaching, you know, to the apostles' teaching. But you know something else that's really cool they did? They like to hang out and do what? Break bread together and fellowship with one another. They actually liked one another. Amen? Let's do that, folks. Meet them, greet them, hang out with them. Because if you do, you won't have to go buy a volleyball and put a face on it and call it Wilson, your best friend. Amen? I just wanted to throw that out there because I know that nobody would have the guts to preach that kind of sermon around here. Amen? I'm just saying. Amen. But instead, sadly, this is what we see when we have, instead of meet the Robinsons, we have this one. Too many times we just look for easy prey in the water. We wait for the gossip train. You understand? If you don't believe it, if you get on that book face thing, you wait till somebody posts anything and then see who comes around. Folks, the world has enough people ready to tear them apart. Don't you think? And the reason why I picked this one is Jaws the Revenge. Two reasons. There's actually a reason. Number one is we try to justify it. Well, I'm only saying what I'm saying because of what they did the first time. So you're not loving them. So I do love them, really, because love keeps no record of. So basically, they didn't do anything. Oh, that's deep, right? I know, I didn't expect something like that coming from me either. I ain't got no idea. Like, wow. And the other reason is the revenge, because by the time you got to that movie, you were just tired of it. Really, I'm just tired of the shark. Amen? Well, folks, I'm tired of seeing this kind of reaction to anybody in church. This should never be the way we handle people that come to church. We should not be gossiping. We should not be backbiting. We should not say, I want to tell you this just so you know what to pray for. No, no, that's not what we should do. Don't look for blood in the water, folks. If you see blood, let's find a way to pray for, fix them, and heal them. Amen? Amen? Amen. The Bible says this about the tongue. The tongue has the power of what? Life and death. Amen? Those who love it will eat of its fruit. James 1:26 says, if you claim to be religious, but you can't control your tongue, you're foolish. You're fooling yourself. Your religion is what?
Worthless.
Worthless. Why is it so important for us to love on them? Because, folks, I'm going to tell you a secret. Just like you, everybody wants to be this. Maybe not with an Uzi in their hand, but I'm sorry. I couldn't come up with a better picture for that one. Don't you want to be wanted? Don't you like it when you come in and somebody's glad you came? I think the person that wrote the theme for Cheers must have been a Christian because they got it right when they said, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You understand? The sad thing is the bars are selling that better than the churches are. Hello? Golly, what kind of guest speaker meddles like that? And I'm going to tell you a secret, and he will not tell you this. He's amazing and stuff, but while you're out there trying to love on one another, love on your pastor and pray for your pastor because this is him. And I mean the title, not the guy in the outfit. He has outfits like that at home, but I'm not supposed to mention it. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how strong he comes across. Sometimes he feels like the Lone Ranger. He feels like he's all alone. Even though he's surrounded by a great team, and I know that team because I've been with that great team, and it's great, and you know that they're there with you, but sometimes when you go home, you think, what am I doing? Am I doing anything for God at all? You know, you watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and see how he's changing the world, and you think, have I even changed one person in my neighborhood? Have I done anything for Jesus at all? You know what I'm talking about? Like when you invite everybody to a prayer meeting, and this is what you expect as a pastor? Right? I'm sorry, the pastor took his shirt off for this one. But anyway, that's what... You expect 300 to show up and the wall to walk right, and then this is how many show up, counting his wife, his kids, and the staff. Right. Oh, I'm telling you what, as a leader, you feel mighty, mighty powerful at that point in time. Amen? Folks, pray for your pastor. Still with me? Good, I'm wrapping up, don't worry. We need to get over being this kind of Christian right here. The spineless, backboneless, Sermon's good, sermon's good, sermon's good. I'm offended, I'm out of here person. He's going to love you enough to tell you the truth. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't tell you the truth. He'd just tell you what makes you feel good. But the Bible says in the last day, people are going to gather around what their itching ears want to hear. Hello? I don't know about you, but I want somebody to love me enough to tell me my fly is open. Hello? It's not. I checked when I came to the bathroom because I thought, I do not want to get to that point in time in the sermon and say, hey, I love you, but amen? That's the kind of pastor you got. He's going to love you enough to let you know. And you know what I found out as a pastor? When you let people know the truth, they don't always like it. They don't always love you for it. Hello? Oh, that's the freebie stuff. Don't be spineless. How do you not be spineless? How are you not tossed to and fro? You become a searcher. Search his word. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen? You get to a point in time where you go looking for God. Psalm 63:1, English Standard Version says this, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen? My favorite scriptures, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. You don't have to get it, but instead do what? Seek his will. Hello? Seek his will in everything that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Folks, seek him. When you start seeking him, you're going to find out that you're not tossed to and fro. You're going to find yourself standing strong. And while you're out searching and seeking, you're going to find out that God's going to start laying people on your heart, laying things on your heart that you can do to make a difference for his kingdom. I almost wanted to preach on this next one right here. Well, that's not it, but you know what? That's pretty cool. I like that. No, let's just keep on that. All right, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given unto you. Go to the next poster. That's the one. I thought, man, this would preach. I thought, maybe. But then the more I thought, now this is about a guy who... He was in his own war, his own conflict. He had a lot of losses in his life, and then people were willing to lay themselves on the line to go out looking for him. I mean, they put aside their own selfishness, they put aside their own selves and thought, you know what? He needs us to find him because he's going through a war and a tragedy. I thought, man, yeah, that won't preach. That has no gospel meaning at all, right? I mean, if it was scripture, it'd be different. If maybe I could find some scripture that said something like this, for the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save the lost. Oh, yeah, that kind of applies maybe. Or maybe the next one right here. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with who? I don't know about you. When I read scripture, I take it personal. When he starts saying stuff like you, I'm like, oh, wait, what? He's slow. He's being patient with you because he doesn't want what? Anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And that would preach, but I wanted to make it very simple. So here's my sermon. That was all the intro. Yes, Lord. The good news is that I'm going to close with my start. I don't know about you, but I've found out whenever life gets tough, whenever things go wrong, whenever it seems like that we get truly, truly, truly desperate, we stop thinking about so many things that are on our plate. I can see I lost you. Okay. If something happens to your kids, it's funny how clear your schedule becomes to take care of the emergency at hand. Right? Why? Because you reprioritize. I think the problem with us in our Christian life is we overwhelm ourselves. See, my intro, as scatterbrained as it was, makes a point. That's how we try to serve God. Today I'm going to do this. Today I want to do that. I'm going to seek this. I'm going to be friendly today. I'm going to meet and greet. And you just confuse yourself. You get overwhelmed. And you think, I can't do it. So is everybody okay if I just give you something really simple to do to live for God? Because any of you know me, I have to keep it as simple as possible. I'm a fairly simple guy. So my, if we can go back to that one there. My picture is One Fine Day. Again, don't know the movie. But I want to define fine for you. Okay, because it's in the middle of the one day that I want to talk about. One fine day. Fine is defined as this: an excellent, a great, an exceptional, outstanding quality. Magnificent. Man, I want to have that kind of a day. You know that kind of a day that when you go to bed at night and you put your head on the pillow, you're just like, oh, it is well with my soul. Amen? Don't you like having those days? Don't you feel like sometimes they're few and far between? Thank you. The one person who feels that way with me. The rest of you, that's amazing. You guys are awesome. Like, we got bills? Psh, we don't worry about bills. We don't pay no stinking bills. Great stuff. That's good. I don't know about you. I go to the work not because I love to every day, but because I have to sometimes. And when I tell people to love your neighbor, sometimes my neighbor's mean and rude. It's not always easy for me. But I want to end the day excellently. I want to have one fine, amazing day. And so here's a couple of scriptures. Number one, of course, Philippians 4:8 tells us that we are to fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. That's good. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So I want to focus on the things that are excellent. Amen? Are you with me? So I want to end by having a good day. How do I have a good day? Well, the Bible says this, Joshua 24. Choose this day whom you will serve. You know why it's so hard for us? Because we don't get that right. If I was to ask you to take out your things to do list today, if I was to ask you to take out your checkbook to see who you've been faithfully tithing to, Walmart, what movie theater, et cetera, et cetera. If I was to tell you to look at the day planner of what you've done this week, how many days line up to that perfectly, I put God first and foremost? Now, I'm not going to ask you to say that out loud. I will tell you for my sake, it doesn't always end up this way. And that's what makes life hard for me. Because if I keep it simple and I say, you know what, I think I could love somebody for one day. I think I'm apparently the only one who could do that. But loving people's hard, amen? Right? But could you love somebody for one day? Now's not a good time to look at your spouse. I mean, I'm hoping we got that down. Even the most obnoxious person at work, for one day I could put up with them, amen? And you know what? I look at some of those other things. I don't know if I could be a giver like I want to give, but I could do it really good one day. Couldn't you be a giver one day? I mean, couldn't you be happy one day? Is one day too much? I didn't find a movie that said 20 seconds. So I thought I'd at least shoot for the one day moment. Couldn't we do it for one day? Even on the days you don't feel like worshiping, couldn't you say, you know what, this one day I can worship, amen? This one day I could pray, amen? This one day I could drive a van, I could drive a bus, I could pick up somebody. Anybody can do it for one day, right? So I'm going to simplify it. Folks, don't try to serve God forever. Just serve him one day. Who could do that with me? Who could say, you know what, I could do that. I could take that challenge. I'm going to call you out. Who said, for one day I can serve God? Good. Which day? No, see, don't confuse yourself, because if you say every day, you just lost yourself. Right? Just today. This day. This day, I'm going to be nice. Some of you, you might need to rewind already for the first 3 hours of your day and say, my bad. Right? Just on the drive over here. Amen? Amen. We start out kind, trying to get everybody out of bed. Right? Come on, we're going to go to church. Yay, amen. Praise God. God's going to. Okay, I mean it this time. Come on, get up, get out of bed.
In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches about, I say, get out of that person.
Amen. I guess I'm the only one that's like that. Oh, I go further. The Bible says that they shall lay hands upon them. My kids are like, come on, uh-huh, that's what we're talking about. I do not abuse my kids. I promise you this. I have to say that because the first time we met some of Taylor's teachers, I reached over to put my arm around him. He did like that. I'm like, really? Really? Really, son? I'm like, for the love. I don't know where it came from. Then my wife said, me neither. And I did like that. No, no. Man, for one day, you could do amazing things, could you not? For one day, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a choice. It's not going to happen by accident. That's why it starts by saying, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day. And you know what Joshua is talking about? And it's kind of cool if you look at the Bible in there. I mean, if it comes to that, look at it. It's pretty good stuff. Because here's what happened. At this point in time in their life, they had a few cool things that happened to them. I would even call them what I would say like the church-going folk. Just a few years ago, they were in bondage and stuff like that. Josh was just the youth pastor. Moses was the pastor. None of this sounds familiar. Should stick with the New Testament then, huh? Okay, well, anyway. So they were let out of bondage, right? I mean, wouldn't you like to be a part of a church that you're let out of bondage just by showing up? You're showing up, you're set free from bondage, and then you say, you know what, I'm hungry, and all of a sudden, boom, breadsticks show up right there in front of you. You got to put it in today's terms, right? I mean, because you're like, hey, manna. Is it garlicky? Because, you know. Now, you would think, come on, they weren't like that. They were. They woke up and said, manna, manna. Manna, manna, bread, it's still there. I'd like meat. And so you know what happened? God gave them meat. Aren't you glad we serve a patient God? And that's what happened. God provided for them. He had clouds during the daytime so it would be shaded. There was light by fire at night. They got led, walked across on dry land. All their enemies fell behind them. So what do they do to praise him? They built a fake God. The pastor passes away. Joshua becomes the new pastor. More miracles. There was a small wall built by Trump. I'm sorry. I did. Sorry. I lost all of you right there. I'm just kidding. I did not tell you what my government, I have no, we love everybody. Amen? Amen. I lost me right there too. I'm just going to tell you. I don't even know what I'm going to say sometimes. So they come across the wall and they had a great plan of God. We're going to do this to attack it. We're just going to walk around it. That's pretty easy, right? Amen? Except they couldn't talk or whine or complain about how their feet hurt, blah, blah, blah. Little things. But that's okay because on the seventh day, you know the story, right? Seventh day, seventh time around. Maybe you don't know the story. So this is a cool thing. Jericho was the place. The wall was really huge. They walked around. And on the seventh day, they yelled at the wall. And the wall came down, right? Amen. They came victorious stuff. This is the kind of life they live. This is the kind of revival their church was in. People were coming to know the Lord. All this stuff was going on. And then he had to come and say, seriously, choose this day whom you will serve, because they started to get distracted. Now, I know that doesn't happen here in Missouri, because I know with you, you hear the sermon on Sunday and you live it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Excited Saturday. Let's do it again Sunday. Amen. You're like, I don't know if I should say anything because they are actually recording this and they'll go back and they'll check it out. Right? This is what happens as church people. We get excited. We want to do something. And then the next day we're like, well, but today my master is going to be my job. Tomorrow my master is going to be my money. The next day my master is going to be who knows what. And I'm trying not to name anything else because I don't offend you. But the fact of the matter is that we have way too many things that become way too important to us. We've got to stop and make it simple. You want to live victoriously? You want to have a great and amazing day? Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, that sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher if I ever heard it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, that sounds good on a Sunday, doesn't it? What about Monday when you're in Walmart and that person cuts in front of you? And you're counting every item? They've got 23 things. 20 or less. I'm about to bless them out in Jesus' name. Choose what? This day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, even when they take my parking spot. Unknown tongues begin to rise. Right? You're driving along. Somebody cuts you off in the lane. You bless them. You might not use all the fingers, but you try to send a message of hope. As for me in my house, I've already lost half of you. I thought I was going to keep it simple. I didn't change the words on you. As for me in my house, amen, that's some good stuff right there. So how do I do it? How do I have the amazing day? I have to make up my mind. I have to make up my mind. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's not about everything else. God, it's all about you. Amen? Amen. So then I look at 2 Corinthians 6:2. And God says this. At just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is... Wow, that was with conviction. Thank you. Indeed, the right time is?
Now.
Yeah, even with a guest speaker, it could happen. The right time is?
Now.
To begin this day. Because today is the day of what?
Salvation.
But you know what's got to happen? We've got to get rid of this. Man, we're good with this one, aren't we? Good morning, Pastor. Well, hi, Pastor. Everything's going great. Oh, it's amazing. I will kill you when we get home. No, we're great. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. In just a second, I'm going to say, close your eyes and bow your head. You're like, shbach. Come on, join us. Folks, we need to get rid of this, and we need to get real with ourselves. You want to choose this day whom you will serve? First, you need to ask yourself, am I really choosing God? I don't want it to sound pretty on a Sunday. And here's the thing, I can make you mad. You know why? I won't be here tomorrow. I won't. Like, we'll show you. We won't come back next week. Okay. You know what that means when I'm looking on the online from my couch? They didn't come back. Wow. Dear Pastor Jesse, sorry I ran off that family. Here's a picture of that Jell-O Christian I had. Please forward it to them. Folks, what's a better place to get real with yourself than in church? The Bible says, John 4:24, God is spirit. His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. 1 John 1:8-10 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, however, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. However, if we claim we have not sinned, if we're saying everything's okay when it's not, if we're saying that we're living as we should be when we know that we're not, we're making him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Remove the mask. Why? Because I want to tell you something about that sin. I want to tell you something about the stuff that you're not getting real about. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. You're like, oh, you're going back to the old school scripture we've heard growing up. I know. It is so old school. Maybe one day we'll actually. Right. Hello? I mean, you're not like me, are you? You don't watch the same movie 9 times to see if it changes at the end. I'll do that. I'll watch it. Maybe this time they're going to make it. Right? I had to go back and watch Forrest Gump because apparently he told me the ending was not that good. Hashtag something, something, Jenny, something, something. But anyway. Folks, here's the thing. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, you need to get real with yourself, and you need to forgive yourself. That's hard to do, isn't it? To admit that, man, I'm not perfect. I'm not. Far from it. I'm going to tell you a secret. God knows. It's not you go and say, hey, God, I messed up. He's like, you think? Do you understand? I'm going to tell you something. Luckily, I am blessed with some amazing kids. My kids are great. My mom, on the other hand, there were some times that she would not point out who her kid was. You understand? Who's your kid? Well, that one's Malcolm Jr. Don't you have another one? Some days. I'm right here. God doesn't do that with you. You go up to him and you say, Lord, I need to be honest with you. I'm messed up. Would you forgive me? Absolutely. Folks, when you get real with yourself today, because why? Today, the now, is the day of salvation. If you get real with yourself, God's here right now saying, let's fix it. Let's get it right. Amen? Folks, I want to get it right. I want you to leave here to have the best, most amazing day you can. It's going to happen, though, when you get rid of, when you forgive yourself and let it go. Hebrews 12 says this. This is my closing number four, Pastor. I'm almost there. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything that hinders. I got some young people in here. Can I go youth pastor on you? Sometimes the thing that hinders you are those friends that you keep hanging around with that you know ought not be in your life. Like, but how do I get rid of them? You let God bring you something better. He will. You just got to let it go. Sometimes there's some jobs that we're at that we absolutely hate, and we're like, oh my gosh, it feels like a compromise every day. Then you say, Lord, I'm willing to let it go. I know sometimes in my life there's some things that I wanted so bad that I held on to so bad, and when I finally let it go, God said, that was nothing compared to what I have for you. God's got amazing stuff for you, but you got to let it go. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. What does he do with it? What we should do, Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Folks, I don't care what you do. When you give it to God, let it go. It's gone. It's done. It's over. Hello? Now, I know it's a simplistic thing, but we do that. Lord, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. I forgive you, you're a new creature, amen. Then you pick it all back up, put it on your back, and you walk out with it. It's not how it works. You've been forgiven. It's as far as the east is from the west. The other scripture says in Micah 7:19, once again, you'll have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet, and you will throw them into the depths of the ocean. How deep is that? This deep. You understand? When you ask God to forgive you, it's gone. That's where it's going to. Never to be seen again. Folks, let it go. You've been living in guilt for far too long. I don't care how bad and how ugly it is. My God's bigger than your mistake. Amen? Amen. Then let's go really old school. This is about as old school as it gets. John 3:16. He brought that out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever or whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting life. That's something to be happy about. Do you understand? My sin's gone, it's in the abyss, and this becomes me. My life. My story turns into a forever. Amen? As a praise and worship team, we'll make your way back up here. So what happens when I ask God to forgive me? What happens when I get real with myself? What happens when I say, Lord, forgive me, and he forgives you, and it's gone, everything else? You become new. A new creature. New creation. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, closing in this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. Folks, you become this. And when you're this, You've got a new day. And when you choose this day whom you'll serve, keeping it easy, that one day, you and everybody around you will be changed forever. If you close your eyes, you know what? I think there's a lot of you that make this Christianity thing way too hard. I want to simplify it. And I don't care if you've been in church forever. I grew up in church, many different denominations, many different churches. I got saved over 100 times. Every time the pastor would have an altar call, I ran up to the front. One of the churches I was at, they didn't even have me fill out a card anymore. They had one pre-printed with my name on it. That's how often I went down. Why? Because I knew that at that exact moment, things weren't right. And somebody convinced me a long time ago that when I was in the presence of God, I needed to be honest with myself. Well, folks, I'm going to do the same thing with you. I want you to be honest with yourself. Now, I'm not saying that all of you are wayward sinners. I'm not saying that any of you are wayward sinners. My question is, have you chosen right today? Have you chosen this day whom you will serve? We're going to remove the mask. Nobody's looking around, just between me and you and God. Have you would say, you know what, I want to fix it. I want to get it right. I've got some areas of my life that I know shouldn't be there. Things with me and God are not copacetic right now in my life, but I want to fix that. All I want you to do is put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by email at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on the website, www.journeychurchmo.com.